independent in thought, and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You're talking about the steel worker in Ohio and the coal miner in Pennsylvania and so on, but those workers may have an elderly mother who depends on the Meals on Wheels program, who may have kids in Head Start. And yesterday or the day before, you described this as a hard power budget, but is it also a hard-hearted budget?
No, I don't think so. I think it's probably one of the most compassionate things we can do to actually
help the elderly.
You're
and
only
kids.
Focusing on half of the equation, right? You're focusing on recipients of the money. We're trying to focus on both the recipients of the money and the folks who give us the money in the first place.
That's White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney talking about the hard-hearted yet kind, caring budget the White House is rolling out. Is it hard-hearted? I don't even know. Do you care? Does it matter at this point in time? When I look at all this stuff, it's all about negotiation. Everything this guy does is about negotiation. Everything. He starts out and does crazy stuff. Ask for crazy things because he knows it's a starting point. Most politicians, again, have not been used to having a starting point because they have a start and finish point at the same place because there is going to be no negotiation. That's just the way it is. Are some of the things in here harsh? You could actually say that. I'm not going to lie to you. There's some stuff in here that I look at and I think that's a bit harsh. That's going to hurt some people. That's going to affect some people's lives. There's some other things in there that you look at and you say, I like where you're going with this. We don't need to spend all this money on this stuff. But once again, you're not addressing the real issues when it comes to a lot of things. But one thing I do like about what Mick Mulvaney said there is we're not just addressing the programs that don't work. All right. We're also addressing the people who give us money, their hard-earned money, as they quote unquote call it the revenue. We call it taxes. And because of that, they're looking at it at both ends, not just the recipients, but the people who are actually paying for it.
And I think it's fairly compassionate to go to them and say, look, we're not going to ask you for your hard-earned money anymore. Single mom of two in Detroit, okay? Give us your money. We're not going to do that anymore unless we can guarantee to you that that money is actually be used in a proper function. And I think that is about as compassionate as you can get. They're supposed to be educational programs, right? And that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to help kids who don't get fed at home get fed so they do better in school. Guess what? There's no demonstrable evidence they're actually doing that.
I agree. I mean, haven't we all said this before? That there are a lot of programs out there that don't work and we'd like to get rid of them. It's still not addressing the issue that needs to be addressed, is that we're going to have to take on to get rid of all this debt and to really chomp into that thing, we're going to have to take on entitlements. But there should be nothing wrong with getting rid of stuff that doesn't work. And if you really want to make things work in your state, if they're, you know, because a lot of what these things are grants, you're going to hear. They're grants to the states, and how they spend that grant money is up to them. They don't have to take it away from Meals on Wheels or certain parts of, you know, feeding certain groups of people, whether it be children or this, that, and the other. They don't have to do that. They can find another way to do that. It's always about making do, right? How many of us, a perfect example, how many of us have been broke, had very little to get by on, and we get frustrated and we stress out, and it's annoying at times, but yet at the same time, we somehow manage to get through it. We make it work, and it's not as bad as we think, because we make it work. That's life, right? Of course all of us want to have more money. Of course we all want to be sitting there with more than we know what to do with. But it doesn't always work that way. And sometimes you can get by with two people instead of four. You can get by with three people instead of seven. You can get by with a million instead of 5 million. And it still works out to be the same. This is just a portion of what's going on and what they need to do. But I do love how they categorize a lot of stuff. When it comes to this president and his budget and how, you know, it's just not a kind budget. It's not a caring budget. No, it's supposed to be about numbers, and you're still not addressing stuff. PBS, humanities, arts, enough. We don't need that. If you really love art, you'll find a way to give money to art, right? PBS is always asking me for money. They're getting money from the government, and they're asking me for money. They want me to give them $30 to get a horrible duffel bag, a nine show you know, DVD of some crappy 1980s British comedy that I didn't watch, and I lived there in the 80s. Yeah, I don't think so. It's not what I'm looking for. But other people will, and that's great. Go give to it. If you love a program enough, and the government's not giving to it, find a way for you to make it happen. Still doesn't address the issues in the room about the size of government and the entitlement size, I mean, and how we start to work on that and make things better. President today met with this this lovely lady by the name of Angela Merkel, and they there's a lot of things in common, and we'll get to that in a second, but he welcomed her to the People's House.
Chancellor Merkel, it is a great honor to welcome you to the People's House, the White House. Our two nations share much in common, including our desire for security, prosperity, and peace.
Yeah, we do share that. It is the People's House. Trump are doing his best. It was some of the photos and some of the pictures are so awkward. You know, you sit in those chairs away from each other, right? So you're 3-4 feet from each other, and you sit there, and you know, he's doing the man spread, and he's got his hands on his knees, just kind of looking around, just like, let's get this over with. I got things to do. And it is, you know, and it's important. Look, Merkel is probably, there's probably three leaders in the world that control a good portion of not only the media, but, or you know, maybe four. Xi Jinping, obviously, of China. Putin, obviously. Merkel and Trump being number one. Those are your four big ones right there. If we were playing basketball, if we were playing rate the leaders, right? So like the basketball, you get 1 through 16, right? Merkel is probably a one seed. Trump's a one seed. Putin's a one seed. I would say Xi Jinping's a one seed. Theresa May be a two seed from Great Britain. Holland may be a two seed. You get where I'm going with this. So, well, it was very interesting, but there was a moment of levity. And of course, anytime the wiretapping thing comes up or any of that stuff, you know, Trump is, again, this shows you the humanity and the touch of humor that can diffuse situations.
As far as wiretapping, I guess, by, you know, this past administration, at least we have something in common, perhaps.
The reason he said that is because, yes, we did bug the German chancellor. So maybe they do have something in common. Actually, that's the Twitter poll that I have right now that is up. You can go to @ChadBensonShow. That's your that's a Twitter. You can tweet at me. You can also call the program, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. The Twitter poll that is up is, should Trump apologize for the wiretapping accusations that have no truth in them? 59% says no, he should not. 41% says yes, he should. Yes, he should. I think people say, you know, I've got a lot of people texting me earlier and tweeting at me, say, what do you think? And I'm going to be honest with you. I think it takes away from a lot. I think it takes away from a lot of stuff that he's trying to do. I think that too many, you know, and sometimes that is what he does. He wants to move the ball around. He wants to get people off guard. He wants to confuse them. But there are some other times I think he says things like this and people say that's outlandish. He's trying to do something here. When in truth, there is a bit of, I believe this. I believe this. I believe things like this happen. I don't know which one this is. But I do know that based on the evidence that is coming out and based on the fact that many other Republicans in the intelligence community, it's coming out saying there is no merit to any of this. Then, you know, he said, then the White House today apparently said something about the British yesterday, also tapping, then backed away from it. Now the White House has come out and said, we're not backing away from anything. And we're not ashamed of anything we said. It is a confusing situation, but we spend all too often talking about stuff like this that has no real impact on the day-to-day lives of Americans. Zero. You know, the biggest, let's say Barack Obama, let's just say for the sake of argument, Barack Obama did indeed order a wiretap and had a wiretap of Trump Towers. The only influence or thing that will come out of this that will affect people is it'll be in books. and people will talk about it. That's it. Nothing else. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Producer Phil, are you wearing green?
I am wearing green, as a matter of fact.
Yes, yes, Producer Phil is wearing green. I am wearing green. I'm always permanently wearing green because my tats are green, some of them. Anthony did not, so I got to give Anthony a pinch this morning. You were colorblind, so he wouldn't have known. He might have thought he had green on, for all he knew. But it is St. Patty's Day. We're going to give you a breakdown of the history of St. Patty's Day. We got your urban word of the day. Should felons get a second chance? I think it's a very important question to ask people. People are quitting their jobs. We've got our bracket update. So much stuff to get to on this Friday. Plus, Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research will be joining us later on in the program. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow. Chad Benson Show.
What is this, St. Patrick's Day?
Let's get to work.
The Chad Benson Show.
Tata Tislad, it's St. Patrick's Day. Today where the patty people are everywhere. Today where we talk about the fact of St. Patrick. We look around with our shillelaghs, our green beer, our leprechauns, our pots of gold, and we talk about all the fun we get into. That's what day it is. It's the 17th of March in the year of the Lord 2017. Why is it the 17th of March that we celebrate St. Patrick's Day, Chad? Oh, really? All right, well, I'll get to that in a second. Oh, you want to know about St. Patty and who he was? Well, St. Patty was actually a young lad, probably born in the Roman British Empire. They call it Roman Britain. It's about the first century. He had a lot of money, born into a wealthy family. But eventually, he was kidnapped. Yeah, that's crazy, right? By Irish raiders. Oh, that is crazy. They came in and they took him away. They did. And you know what they did? They made him a slave in Gaelic Ireland. It was said that Mr. Patrick, at the time, spent 6 years working there as a shepherd, tending the flock. Then one day, as so many shepherds tend to do, they find the Lord. They did. First of all, the Lord didn't even know he's missing. So that's why it's good that he found him, right? The declaration said that Patrick and God were talking, and God said to him, Patrick, I want you to flee to the coast. There's going to be a ship waiting there for you. 200-mile walk he'd made. He got there. Next thing you know, he was gone. Boom, a week he went. And guess what happened? Went back home, and the Lord said, you know what else you're going to do? You're going to become a priest. And he said, well, let's hold on a bit. I've been in slavery for a long time. I might want to see what it's like to be single for a bit. So if you just relax a little bit. He said, no, you're becoming a priest. And he did. And then the Lord said to him, hey, Patrick, that's you over there. You need to go back to Ireland, where you just came from. And you tell those pagans that the Lord is coming for them if they don't do right. To stop worshipping the sun and weird crap like that. And he said, all right, God, you're really demanding. I think you are. So back he went. And this is what he did. He actually went there. And he drove out the snakes of Ireland, except for one thing. Ireland doesn't have snakes, never has, never will. Because it's cold, and there's nothing else there but sheep. And beer. And more sheep. And a few Irish people. So, from there, you see, he talked to the pagans. Showed the pagans the ill-gotten ways that they were falling. They weren't good for them. And got them eventually to change their ways. One of the ways he did that was he took the little shamrock. And he said, it's got three there. Do you see that? One, two, three. That's the Father, the Son, that's the Holy Spirit. Those are the three right there. It's the Trinity. That's what I'm talking about. Stop worshipping the sun, you crazies. My goodness. And eventually, that's what they did. He converted thousands and thousands of people. Even some of the Druids. They're weird. That's what he said. Tradition holds, though, on this day, many, many years ago, that he died. And we celebrate this day in the way that St. Patrick had wanted us. By getting absolutely pissed out of our mind, puking everywhere, falling down drinking green beer, and talking like an Irish ninny. And that's the history of St. Patrick.
Let's move from there to this little thing we like to call the urban word of the day.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
Oh, the urban word of the day actually comes from Anthony, who couldn't be more urban if we tried. I don't even know what it is. Like, apparently, now, producer Phil, I don't know if you heard this, but producer Anthony is going to be featuring on Drake's next album.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's pretty stoked. It's called Old White Guy. That's what he goes by. Some people go, Old Dirty Bastard. He's Old White Guy. O-W-G. Today is, the urban word today is busing. Busing. It's the act of sitting at a bus bench or a stop, preferably late at night, when you're the only one there. And as soon as the bus comes to a complete stop, you get out and you walk away. Shall we use that in a sentence? The bus driver honked in fury as the kid walked away from the bench he was busing at. That's your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
You know, in Ireland, we have a thing like that, too. It's called it's called drinking, right? We think we're going to give you a drink, and you come on over, and then we turn, and we take the drink away from you. That's what we do. It does lead to murder sometimes. It's Ireland. It's not a lot. I got great stories about Ireland, by the way. I lived some of the stories I heard. Oh. Should I come back, and when I worked over there, should I tell you the great story of what I was not supposed to do when I was in Ireland?
Oh, hell
what I was
yeah.
warned against? Oh, yeah. It is a great story when I went to work for Long Wave Radio Atlantic 252. You will absolutely love it. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Felons! Should they get a second chance and a second opportunity? A bill in California is pushing for it. A lot of other states and counties across the country are starting to do this. We'll talk about that next. Chad Benson Show.
There's no one as Irish as Barack Obama. There's no one as Irish.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Oh, I love it when we do some Irish stuff. I think there's more Irish in America, right, than there in Boston and New York than there is here. And you want to talk about illegal immigration? There are plenty of Irish who are currently in New York and Boston that are underground, if you will, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And by that, I mean they're not really hiding, but they're definitely not supposed to be here. They've outstayed their visa. So when I was, before we went to break, I was talking about my time in Ireland. I went to work for a station over there, and it was hilarious. I was like in my early 20s, you know, like 23, 24. And the program director pulls me in, tells me what my name's going to be, because they all give everybody kind of the same name. And so it's like, you're taking over the guy who's Canadian, but your accent is kind of the same, so you're going to take his name. So we'll just kind of roll it on in there. And he tells me, he goes, oh, by the way, I want to tell you one thing. Keep it in your pants. And I tell you why. These girls are dying to get pregnant and get off this stupid rock of a place. So keep it there. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a little Irish kid. That's all. I'm like, okay. It was a pleasant place. Beautiful. Gorgeous. Gorgeous. And look, you know what? It's like sometimes you go to some of these places and you're like, wow, people live here, because it just feels more like a movie set than it does an actual place where people reside. It does. It's a great place. Beautiful place. Wonderful. Amazing people. Amazing people. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. I'm getting excited. We're going to unveil some of our early brackets as we're doing here. But currently, I have got one game going on, and we're putting one of Phil's team completely away. Booyaka! Should felons get a second chance? Should felons get a second chance? We have a situation where men are getting out of prison mostly. And by the way, you watch any of those shows, a good portion of the people that are in prison are getting out of prison. Even violent felons. But a good portion of people that are getting out of prison are felons, and they're going to have to find a place to work. It's tough. It is. It's tough, and it's sad at times. But you see how it starts to unwind for people. They come out, maybe they get a little bit of support from their family and friends, and then they start that arduous task of trying to find a job. Over and over again, they look, but the minute they check the box, bam, what ends up happening is all of a sudden, boom, nobody wants you. Nobody wants you. Now, there's in California, they got Assembly Bill 10-08. And it would be essentially forbids inquiring about applicants' conviction record until they've been actually offered a position. And they said this removes some of the arbitrary qualifiers. Kevin McCarthy, Democrat of Sacramento, has introduced the bill. The idea, though, isn't just a California thing. It's swept across the country. In fact, 25 states and more than 150 cities and counties across the country have banned the box laws in place. According to the National Employment Law Protection or Project, in 9 states and 15 cities, including San Francisco, L.A., the policy applies to private employers as well as other employers that include things like, you know, state, things like that. People are like, well, Chad, you know, these people made mistakes. Absolutely. And they've paid the price. And we can't ask employers to take on unnecessary risk by bringing somebody in who potentially could be a problem to them, whether it be through their insurance, whether it be through their, you know, it really depends on what they're going to do. And I see a lot of times that they're offering people inside of prison opportunities to get some work experience. And they're teaching them things like plumbing and HVAC and things that they're never going to be able to use because the background check is going to forbid them from getting a job. I have thought at some point in time, it's time that the state start to step up and take some responsibility and some of the risk, or a good portion of it, off the employer if they really want to stop this recidivism rate and seeing people fall into the same patterns over and over again. But the frustration level should, it gets up for here. And it's time that we start to look at something different in a way that people can get a second chance, especially nonviolent offenders, to get out there and to not only work, but after a certain amount of time, maybe even see their felony expunged off the record so it no longer holds, you know, some sway over their head.
It may not benefit greatly, but it will stop an obstacle we know is an obstacle. We know that's an obstacle. So it will give sometimes a person the opportunity to do a face-to-face interview. Many employers, when they see the box check, automatically throw the application away without even giving the opportunity or even seeing how long it's been since the guy was incarcerated or anything. So the box is real hindrance.
Yeah, it is. Look, I've worked in all kinds of industries, and there's some things that, you know, you just, if you've got a felony, you're not going to get an opportunity. And there's some industries that's just a no-go. That's just it's a no-go. But as a person who's also conservative fiscally, I want to save money. Seeing these people continue to commit crimes because they're out of desperation. I told one person earlier, what do you do? Well, it's they've made their mistakes. That's right. So you just tell them that you just go outside and starve to death? Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. Well, what do you do? If nobody's willing to hire them, eventually desperation's going to take over. What do you do? How do you give people a chance? Again, should we give people a chance? I'm all about second chances. But I also think states need to start taking responsibility as well if they're serious about helping people get back on track. And the money it cost them, the money it cost us to give to them to take care of these people is ridiculous. But it's also frustrating. People do make mistakes. People get caught up in bad situations. Sometimes people, when they're younger, they do stuff that's absolutely ridiculous, and it follows them around for the rest of their life. And eventually, it catches up to them in a way where they're so frustrated, they're so over it. No matter how hard they try, it doesn't seem that the world's going to give them a break. So what's the thing that they do, like everybody else? They go back to doing what they did before they got in trouble, because it's the only thing that they know how to do or that anybody's going to give them a chance to do.
Since I've been doing this, the only one that has called me back is the pastor, you know, and it, I mean, sometimes it's frustrating, but it's what you want out of life. Going in there face to face, I would believe I have a better chance getting a job, you know, and cover all these up, because I can go in there, these are all covered. And I've even had tattoos on, got them removed, just so I can present myself as a work, you know. It's trying to fit back in society, man, it's hard.
It is hard. It is. Again, I've never walked in their shoes. People do make mistakes, but I always think that people should be given an opportunity to move on with their lives, especially after they're paid their debt to society. Doesn't mean you can't be wary. Doesn't mean you can't do any of those things that a lot of people do. You shouldn't, you know, it's your business. But at the same time, you should be able to look at the state and say, well, if you want to do some of these things, why aren't you willing to take some of the risk? If my insurance company won't cover this person as a plumber, and you think he's worth the risk, then you cover everything. Why won't you do that? It's a question. I think it's very fair. The money, I think it'll save us in the long run, will be great. And the opportunity to get people back into society working again is great. Got a text message from a landscaper. Said, I've hired two convicted felons with strikes. Great workers. Very loyal. They have my back. Yeah. Absolutely. Text the program 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. And people will say, Chad, you're a bleeding heart liberal. No, what I am is a person who understands human beings. I try to get inside of everybody, inside their mind, try to figure out what happened. I've had friends who've done some really stupid things in their life. And if it wasn't for having some other friends, they would be in bad situations. Do you punish somebody forever? We're not saying, hey, if a rapist gets out of prison, you should let him go inside people's homes. But if a guy's been dealing weed and he's made a few mistakes and he's nonviolent and he's good with his hands, should we not give him a chance? Is it not worth it? I'd like to think more of us as human beings than that. And I'd like to see the opportunity work their way back, not only into society, but off a lot of these felony lists, and have them get to a point in their life where that thing, that cloud doesn't hang over them anymore. The beauty of life is, here's a great example. People do stuff for rewards, right? Look at video games. Video games have become addicted. Why? Yeah, the action's fun, but a lot of times it's about achievement. It's about achieving certain things. It's about getting to certain areas. It's about achieving certain things. You don't think people would want to achieve something like this? To have a chance to have their record expunged? To have a chance from going to one strike to no strike, getting whatever they did busted down to a misdemeanor, to join society in a way that they feel like they're whole again, and the money it would save us if we were able to cut down the recidivism rate and all of the other stuff, I think it's tremendous. It's about looking for different ways to do things. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. I want to hear from you. Would you give a felon a second chance? Would you give somebody a second chance like that? 844-344-2423. And you think maybe the states should start stepping up and giving, putting their money where their mouth is, seeing as it's our money and we're having to put these people in prison and it's costing us $40,000 a year to house some of them and they're going to get out and they're going to have nothing to go to. What do you think is going to happen? It's going to cost us another $40,000. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. It's the Chad Benson Show.
What
is this, St. Patrick's Day?
Well, what about the Irish?
Oh, that's a negative stereotype. I don't think the Irish drink as much as people say they do.
The Chad Benson Show.
Come on and leave me restless. Tease me. And deny us love and feeling. You know, it's great. I say to Phil, because we're going to be playing Irish bands throughout the day, but know you too, because both, even though I'm getting Phil tickets to go see you two, shh, that's a surprise. We're not doing you two. We're not going to do any of you two today. But it was funny. I said, Phil, get that band with the three hot chicks and the dude. Like, what? He's like, what are you talking about? I said, you know, the three hot chicks and the guy, and one of them plays violin. And he's like, the Coors? I'm like, yes. And they're sisters, right?
Yes,
I think so. Three sisters and a brother. Could you imagine, like, your dad looking at you going, listen here, Jimmy. You better protect your sisters on the road. Do you have any idea what I'll do to you if you don't protect your little sisters on the road? I will kill you. All right? I'm just letting you know that. You'll be dead. They're nothing. If any one of them comes back pregnant or soiled in any matter, you're done for. A lot of people texting in about the felony thing that we're talking about. Should felons be given a second chance? Should the state start figuring out ways that they, too, can help people integrate and not some of these horribly crappy programs that they push out there? A lot of people are saying this is a good thing. I've never heard it put that way, one person just said, about what it's going to save us cost-wise as taxpayers if we can get people to stop, you know, going back to prison over and over again and start to take away some of their desperation and replace it with hope and opportunity. Well, Chad, that sounds like a bleeding heart liberal thing. No, it's a real thing. I'm about second chances in life. There's nothing wrong with second chances. All of us in life have made mistakes. How long should you be punished for those mistakes? For some people, they'll never see daylight again. But for a good majority of people that are sitting in prison right now, they're going to get out in eventually. Maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years, but they've got to be reintegrated into society. And they need to have a chance to actually make something of themselves. Otherwise, desperation is going to lead to more stupidity and bad choices, and back they go. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Tournament challenge. Now, Phil, is that Rhode Island celebrating a victory? Is that what I see?
Yes. Yes, it is.
You are correct, sir. Okay. So this morning, I was doing really good. I had actually gone from 1.2 million in my rankings into the 900,000 area in my ESPN bracket. It's Jack FC. That's ours. Everything's about Jack. Then I lost a game and I went to 3.2 million. I have now won another game that was an upset. And Phil, I've moved back to the 1.3 million zone. You, on the other hand, I think you've only lost as many as I have. I think I've lost two or three.
Yeah.
Somebody, though, on the Yahoo bracket lost all 16 games. They lost 16 games. To try to do that, I couldn't try to do that. Like, that's literally probably harder than winning 16 games would be losing 16. Because even a broken clock is wrong twice a day. I couldn't even imagine that, losing 16. Like, don't take you to Vegas. Let's not even be friends until you wash whatever's on you off. I'm excited, though. We got some good games. UCLA's playing later. Here's the thing about UCLA. If you watch any of this stuff, and again, we only followed college basketball for 1 month out of the year, and it's fun, and we've been watching it all day, and I've stopped watching the talking heads on CNN because I care less about any of this other stuff, but tonight we get to see UCLA and we get to see the crazy dad. And he's telling everybody his son, Laval Bell, is ready to be the best player in the NBA, that he's going to get $1 billion for his kids. he said in his day he could have scored on Michael Jordan. And I guess, who was it? Who's terrible? Barkley. Barkley said that he wants to challenge him. I couldn't imagine the pressure of that, like having a dad like that. But what's that do for you, man? Because some teams would probably want to stay away from a dad like that. Like, we really like this kid, but I can't. There's no, I want no part of this around. I want no part of this round. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. I mean, we have so much stuff to get to. We really do, and we are going to get to it. But, you know, I thought, I have to be honest, I love movies. I didn't realize that Beauty and the Beast was as big as it is. They're predicting this weekend $168 million for Beauty and the Beast live action. I guess the making out of the candlestick and the teacup is not enough to keep everybody away from it. That's what I'm hearing. $168 million. I don't know who's running Disney at this moment in time, but they are making some good money. They have hit it out of the park across the board. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. You can tweet at us, at Chad Benson Show. Text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. You can grab the podcast. We love it when you do. Go to ChadBensonShow.com. You can grab the podcast. iTunes, iHeart, a lot of other places. Tune in radio app. Grab the podcast if you can. This be the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.